O Savior, precious Savior. 204. I ask that you stand as we sing, please. I ask now as much as you're able, you kneel with me in the opening prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for this day and this time, Father. Thankful to have been able this morning to witness the offering up of three precious souls before Thee for Your watch care, Father. Thankful, Father, that indeed we know that we have You to trust in, to come before with all our needs, Father, and whatever they might be. And so this day we do so, Father, approach Thee as we have come together to humbly assemble ourselves before Thee in Thy house, Father, asking and praying, Father, for Your Spirit to be here in abundance, asking for Your mercy and Your forgiveness upon us, asking for Your strength, Your guidance, Your direction, wisdom, and discernment for our lives, Father, and praying, Father, that as we've come together this day, we have done so preparing ourselves that we might make ourselves receptive, that we might receive Thy word this day, and that You might be with our brother who would stand before us, Father, that even now You might look down upon him and grant unto him the words and the wisdom he needs. Praying, Father, that You'd help him, that this morning he would be able to present to us those precious words of life, Father, that You'd make him a mighty instrument in Thy hand this day. We pray, Father, that You be continued to be attentive to each of Your children, their needs. We know there are many needs. But we know that you know each, and pray that you'd watch over each and every one of your most precious children and bless each as they stand in need. And so, Father, we trust this service in thy watch care and ask and pray for these things in the name of your most holy and your most blessed Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us continue this morning to lift our voices in song of praise with the use of hymn number 148, We'll Scatter Good Seed, number 148. Would you once again stand as we sing, please? We were privileged to be able to witness three young lives offered up before the Lord. And I'm sure that we rejoice in that opportunity, and yet I'd like to remind each of us this day that each of you is every bit as precious to our Heavenly Father as those three little ones are. And so this day I'd ask that you would give careful attention to the words and instructions from that same source that we have the trust for our watch care. From our brother who would stand before us. It's been some time since we've had the opportunity to hear him. He's been gone for a while, and we rejoice in his return. And so I'd ask this morning that you would lift our brother up in your prayers and listen carefully to him as he presents the words of life. Our brother and elder, Gordon McCann.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. It is good to be able to be here. There was one point in time when I was up in that vast expanse that I was wondering if that would ever happen again. That was a different experience. I can appreciate the trials and the tribulations and those things that those Indians go through that live in the Arctic Circle. It was a unique experience. I think probably one of the most interesting things that as we were flying in, it was at night, and we landed on an airstrip, and we did a 180 at the end of the runway and came back, and and parked at the tarmac, and we walked off the plane, and I knew that we were probably pretty far out of normal civilization. But I think the thing that probably astounded me the most was when I had an opportunity to actually see an aerial view of Kotzebue, Alaska, and where I landed. That strip during the summertime starts at the ocean or the sea, the Bering Strait, and goes over just a tiny little strip of land and then back out into water. So if it wasn't for the frozen land all around it, that was just a narrow little strip of land that you land on, and that's with a 737, and they come to a screeching halt at the end of the runway. A little different. Well, this morning I do have, I feel, a direction that the Lord would give to me that I might give to you this morning. Last week, if you can remember, if those of you were here, our brother Jay spoke of the Word of God and the power that was in the Word of God. How when he spoke, the worlds were created, and there was nothing done but by the Word of God. I want to go a little bit further in that, dealing with the voice of God as he tries to commune with man and mankind. As you can remember, as you have read in Genesis, you find that God communed with man on a one-to-one basis until he transgressed the law of God, and there was a separation that took place. And after that time, he provided a means by which he would communicate to the children of men. And I want to talk about a few of those means this morning. Let's turn to Alma in the third chapter of your Book of Mormons. You can find that on page 317. And I'll start with verse 57. Here in the words of Alma, he says, "Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them. And he saith, Repent, and I will receive you. Yea, he saith, Come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread and the waters of life freely. Yea, come unto me, and bring forth works of righteousness, and ye shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire." All of you who have made a conscious decision to be here this morning to fill these pews, I know some have come because they're children, they come with their parents. Some have come because they have friends. For whatever purpose, you've come. And because you're here, God has given this avenue that you might hear His Word, that it might touch your life, that you might come from here with a little closer understanding of God. That is one of the ways in which God has prepared for mankind to hear His Word through the preacher. That's only one small means. As you find in Alma in the first chapter, he tells you that in the 37th verse, he says, "When the priests left their labors," or like I did when I came from Kotzebue, Alaska, doing my work for my company, and I had opportunity now to stand before you, to impart the Word of God unto the people, and the people also left their labors to hear the Word of God. And when the priests had imparted unto them the Word of God, they all returned again diligently unto their labors. And the priest, not esteeming himself above his hearers, for the preacher was no better than the hearer, neither was the teacher any better than the learner, and thus they were all equal, and they did all labor, every man according to his strength. So the cycle of things are that I have an opportunity because I'm called of God to bring forth the Word of God to you. And you have been given opportunity to come and hear that. And tonight I'll be sitting in the pews and I'll be listening to the Word of God through another servant. But you know, you have been active in the Word of God in my behalf, in prayers for me, and my family and the support that you have given. But all in this, dealing with the communication of God to mankind, to the hearts of every one of us, that we might more fully understand the purposes that we have on this earth to serve God and to serve mankind. And that we might be redeemed from that fall, that separation. We also have an avenue of the written word. Have you, I know, from time to time have been able to read from the scripture? You've come across passages of scripture that would touch your heart and soul to the point that tears would come into your eyes because of the greatness of the word as it touched your heart. The compassion that God has for his people, you felt it just through the written word. And it pierced to your very soul. And you, within your heart and mind, gave God thanks for that love. And that concern that he had those of ancient days write and went through all the travails and all the hardships that we might have the scripture today. And be able to have the intelligence to be able to sit and read. And by the power and the gift of the Spirit of God to understand those words. Again, for the purposes of becoming closer, in tuned, a better, closer understanding of the will of God in our lives. In the book of Hebrews, in the 4th chapter, I find that it is a good description of the Word of God. Excuse me. Starting with the 12th verse. Here it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." So that when we're able to read the scripture, like Jay was pointing out, it condemns us, doesn't it? And we're pierced to the heart. Because we know we've done wrong. It also can uplift us in that we are understanding that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet we're his creation and he has a great desire for each one of us. And a love that goes beyond our understanding and our comprehension. And a desire that goes beyond any of our comprehension for our well-being. And yet it's a very powerful word that cuts us to the, as it says, to the soul and the spirit. Continuing in the 13th verse, it says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." That's how powerful the Word of God is. We can't choose to ignore it, put it aside, not read it. But we've all given opportunity that we might. He continues to extend himself to reach out in ways to communicate to the children of men, not only through his servants and through the written word, but he provides other means by which He tries to communicate to mankind, to help them to understand the purposes of this life that we live, and what's in store for us to come after this life. That other avenue is, as you heard in the prayers of our brother this morning, is through the gift of angels. Those heavenly beings that have appeared to men throughout the generations of time to bring forth the word of God, either by warning of pending danger or doom, or by admonition to protect the saints, or by decree of God to bring glad tidings, as you are able to remember when Christ's birth was to be, angels came and brought those glad tidings to the children of men. I have an example in the first book of Nephi in the 5th chapter. We find here Laman and Lemuel, who was given admonition by an angel. And Nephi was reminding them during that time in which Laman and Lemuel was causing much problem and much stress in the lives of Nephi and his family. Here in the 45th verse on page 58, he says, "Ye have seen an angel, and he spake unto you, yea, ye have heard his voice from time to time. An angel came to them, stood before them, and spoke to them in a voice of warning. And he has spoken unto you in a still small voice, but you were past feeling, that you could not feel his words. Wherefore he has spoken unto you like unto the voice of thunder, which did cause the earth to shake, as if it were to divide asunder. And ye also know that by the power of his almighty word, he can cause the earth that it shall pass away. Yea, ye know that by his word he can cause the rough places to be made smooth, and smooth places shall be broken up. Oh, then why is it that ye can be so hard in your hearts?" Here they have the opportunity to have an angel stand before them and to bring them the word of God. Can I see the hands of those who have had that opportunity? None of us, though. But there are those amongst our people that have. The only reason why I bring this forth is that even still, when an angel came and visited him and talked with him like you and I today, it was within the hearts of those two individuals to reject it, to put it aside, to not hear it, to not accept it, to cast it off. And in all these things I'm going to bring to you today, we still have that same opportunity to cast it aside, to put it someplace of little value or worth, and to not listen to the admonition that it would bring to us. And it's our choice. It is what God has given us to be able to do, is to choose to either accept or reject it. In Alma, in the 10th chapter, there's another good example of angels coming and speaking with the children of men. Here on page 351, it says, "Yea, and the voice of the Lord by the mouth of angels doth declare it unto all nations, yea, doth declare it, that they may have glad tidings of great joy. Yea, and he doth sound these glad tidings among all his people, yea, even to them that are scattered abroad upon all the face of the earth. Wherefore they have come unto us, and they are made known unto us in plain terms, that we may understand, that we cannot err, and this because of our being wanderers in a strange land. Therefore, we are thus highly favored, for we have these glad tidings declared unto us in all parts of our vineyard. For behold, angels are declaring it unto many at this time in our land, and this is for the purpose of preparing the hearts of the children of men to receive his word at the time of his coming in his glory. And that was speaking of Jesus Christ prior to his birth. And now we only wait to hear the joyful news declaring unto us by the mouth of angels of his coming. For the time cometh, we may know not how soon. Would to God that it might be in my day, but let it be sooner or later. In it I will rejoice. Another good example of the way the Lord would extend his word by the mouth of angels. Another very important way the Lord extends himself in trying to communicate with his creation. And this, when I say a very important thing, is because it's a very personal thing, and it has to do with his spirit. Most people have, they may not recognize it, but most people have been touched by his spirit prior to them even coming to hear the word preached. Their heart is touched. They know that there's something there that they have heard. And their heart is softened by the Spirit of God that they might have an understanding of that word. And with that, then they make the decision, maybe I want to hear a little more about this. Maybe come to a better understanding of this. There's a case that I'd like to bring to you. It was in the Book of Enos, where this young lad listened to his father as he was growing concerning the things of God, but he never really experienced God on a one-to-one basis other than through his father's words. Here on page 193, the beginning of the story, on verse 1, he says, "Behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father that he was a just man, for he taught me in his language and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And blessed be the name of my God for it. And I will tell you of the wrestle which I had before God before I received a remission of my sins." And I want you to understand, it is a wrestle, because you have to fight against your flesh. It's not easy. It just doesn't come overnight. It takes a strong desire to know more of God and his purposes in your life. "Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words which I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints sunk deep into my heart." The only way that that would have occurred was by the Spirit of God preparing his heart for that. "And my soul hungered, and I kneeled down before my Maker, and I cried unto him in a mighty prayer and supplication for my own soul. And all the day long did I cry unto him, yea, and when the night came, I did still raise my voice high, that it reached the heavens. And there came a voice unto me, saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, thou shalt be blessed. And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie, wherefore my guilt was swept away." A personal revelation of God to this young life. "And I said, Lord, how is it done? And he said unto me, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast never before heard nor seen. And many years pass away before he shall manifest himself in the flesh. Wherefore go to, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now it came to pass that when I had heard these words, I began to feel a desire for the welfare of my brethren, the Nephites. Wherefore I did pour out my whole soul unto God for them." Now take notice the progression. At first he was concerned about his well-being, that he wasn't right before God. And he wanted to make himself right before God, so he prayed in his own behalf. And God answered him and forgave him openly. But then immediately after that, he started thinking about others. And that's the way it is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Once you've come to a knowledge, Once the Spirit of God has touched your heart and your soul, and if you receive that remission of sin, then you have concern for your fellow beings, that they too could partake of that and have an understanding of that. And so it was with Enos. He started praying for those souls that he knew that were around him, for his brethren, the Nephites. And while I was thus struggling in the spirit, behold, the voice of the Lord came into my mind again, saying, I will visit thy brethren according to their diligence in keeping my commandments. I've given unto them this land, and it is a holy land, and I curse it not, save it be the cause of iniquity. So the Lord heard his prayers in that behalf. And as you would follow the story, he continued to pray, not only for his people, but for those who would come after him, the many, many generations, and also for the written word. And it was all granted unto him according to his faith. Excuse me. As it was here, the voice of the Lord spoke to him directly. There's another, that is an avenue in which others have experienced from time to time. I'd like to bring to you another story. It's in the book of Helaman in the second chapter. Which deals concerning a people who was able to experience the voice of the Lord. On one side you had the ministers of God, Nephi and Lehi, as they worked among a people who did not believe in God, who rebelled against God, and how they would work to bring them to a better understanding of God. In verse 93, that's on page 559, we find that at this point in time, it says, and it came to pass that there came a voice as if it were above the cloud of darkness, saying, repent ye, and seek no more to destroy my servants, whom I have sent unto you to declare good tidings. And it came to pass that they heard this voice, and behold, it was not a voice of thunder, neither was it a voice of great tumultuous noise. Behold, it was a still voice of perfect mildness, as if it had been a whisper, and it did pierce even to the very soul. The reason I bring this to your attention is that many times the voice of God has been spoken and we didn't hear it. And a lot of times we think that, well, the voice of God would be a thunderous voice that would come out of heaven and just shake us. But it's not. He doesn't have to prove his power by making a lot of noise. Here it says it was a perfect mildness, as if it had been a whisper, and it pierced even to the very soul. And that's the same kind of voice that the Spirit works within our hearts, of perfect mildness, piercing our soul, helping us, pricking us, so that we might pay attention to the word and what you would bring to our hearts to help us in our lives. And notwithstanding the mildness of the voice, behold, listen to this, the earth shook exceedingly, and the walls of the prison trembled again, as if were about to tumble to the earth. And behold, the cloud of darkness which had overshadowed them did disperse. The power that comes by the word of God. Another good example of the word of God as it was spoken, and those who heard, recorded it, is in the third book of Nephi in the fifth chapter. This period of time, Christ had already visited those of the Americas. This was right after that great destruction of the time in which Christ was crucified and he appeared to those in the Americas. Here, starting with verse 1, this is on page 631. And now it came to pass that there were a great multitude gathered together of the people of Nephi round about the temple which was in the land of Bountiful. And they were marveling and wondering one with another, and were shewing one to another the great marvelous change which had taken place. And they were speaking of that change that took place amongst themselves and after this great destruction. And they were also conversing about this Jesus Christ, of whom the sign had been given concerning his death. And it came to pass that while they were thus conversing one with another, they heard a voice, as it came out of heaven, and they cast their eyes round about, for they understood not the voice which they heard. And it was not a harsh voice, neither was it a loud voice, nevertheless, notwithstanding it being a small voice, it did pierce them that did hear to the center, insomuch that there was no part of their frame that it did not cause to quake. Yea, it did pierce them to the very soul, and it caused their hearts to burn. And it came to pass that again they heard the voice, and they understood it not. And again the third time they did hear the voice, and did open their ears to hear it. And that's the important thing that I would like to bring forth this morning. One, the persistence of God in our behalf, that we might hear Him. It's like when we would talk to our children. Have you ever, those of you who had kids, right? You could yell at them, holler at them, they'll be sitting right there in a couch and they won't hear you. But they could be all the way back in the furthest room in the whole house and you could open up a can of pop. Hey, I want some of that. You know, they could hear it just like that, you know. It's only because they have selective hearing. And we're that way with God. We have selective hearing. A lot of times He's calling and we don't hear Him. And He calls us again and we don't hear Him. It takes two or three times and then finally it pierces our heart. And then we hear. Sometimes we don't hear at all. And we ignore it completely. And then we're the ones that lose out. Yeah, we have selective hearing when it comes to God. The third time they did hear the voice and did open their ears to hear it, and their eyes were towards the sound thereof, and they did look steadfastly towards heaven from whence the sound came. And behold, the third time they did understand the voice which they heard. And it said unto him, Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in Him I have glorified my name. Hear ye Him. That was the Word of God, admonishing us to hear the words that Christ would bring to us. And it came to pass, as they understood, they cast their eyes up again towards heaven, and behold, they saw a man descending out of heaven. And he was clothed in a white robe, and he came down and stood in the midst of them, and the eyes of the whole multitude were turned upon him, and they durst not open their mouths, even one to another, and wist not what it meant, for they thought it was an angel that had appeared unto them. And it came to pass that he stretched forth his hand and spake unto the people, saying, Behold, I am Jesus Christ, of whom the prophets testified should come unto the world. And behold, I am the light and the life of the world, and I have drunk out of the bitter cup which the Father hath given me, and have glorified the Father in taking upon me the sins of the world, in the which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. That's a beautiful record that we have. That was preserved by the hands of many individuals and by the power of God. I have another example that comes out of the Bible. And comes by way of the prophet Elijah. It's in the first book of, or it's in 1 Kings in the 19th chapter. Just a short little verse of scripture that would, I like to use the Bible and the Book of Mormon to show that the things that are recorded in the Book of Mormon are no different than the things that are recorded in the Bible. And I use it as a testimony, as it should be. that God works among the people in the same way, with one as He does with another. In the 19th chapter, starting with the 11th verse, we find here Elijah had been chased by the Jezebel into a cave. And he found himself to be pretty dejected. He felt that he was the only one left to serve God. And he was hiding up out there for his life, because Jezebel was definitely ready to kill him. And here in the 11th verse he said, "And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great storm, a strong wind, rent in the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Isn't that interesting? The similar words. "And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle." You know, that kind of caught my eye when I read that. He wrapped his face in the mantle. I'm going, now why did he do that? "And he went out and stood in the entering of the cave." So he went outside the edge of the cave. Well, I guess with all that commotion going on, the earthquake and the winds and rocks exploding, I would probably want to cover my face too before I stepped out to see what the heck was going on out there when I heard this small, still voice. And that's what Elijah was doing. He wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and he stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and he said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" That small, still voice asked him, "What are you doing? Why are you hiding out?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said unto him, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria." And then later on down the last verse, he says, "Yet," and this is the Lord still speaking to him, "yet I have left me 7,000 and in Israel all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him." So he was speaking to the servant. The servant was dejected. He felt that he had been left alone and God had deserted him. And God in his compassion came to him and talked to him and told him, "No, you're not the only one here. You still have a work to do. Here they are, go do it." So the servants are no different than the people themselves. The different ways that God tries to speak to His children. There's many ways that He does that. And He tries as hard as He can to awaken that heart and soul of yours that you might hear it. And not only that you might hear it, that you might apply it to your life. Why? Because He would like to see you in His kingdom that is to come. He wants you there with Him. He doesn't want you standing on the outside looking in. He wants each and every one of you. You're His creation. You're here for a purpose. And He wants you to tell you about that purpose. He wants you to understand why. And when you give opportunity to hear that word, you're going to understand why. That you're a child of God. I'd like to close with in Psalms, the 46th chapter of Psalms, verse 10. It's a favorite scripture of my wife and mine. I'm a kind of person, I'm always running around doing things, and sometimes I'm not sitting still to hear. And maybe you're like me in that sense. And here the psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heaven and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." So the admonition of the psalmist is, be still and know that God is and hear His voice. Allow Him to come into your heart to speak to you, either through a servant or by way of an angel or a small still voice or the Spirit as it moves within your heart. Allow Him to work within your life. And may God bless you as you're able to hear His Word and apply it to your life.
Pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do give thanks for the time that we've spent here this morning. And do you ask and pray, Father, that indeed you would always continually seek us out and pray that you would help us, that we would always be listening and attentive to your direction in our lives, Father. We ask and pray that you would continue with us this day and the activities that we will participate in this afternoon, and pray that you would be the services that we will enjoy this evening, and ask and pray that you'd continue to be attentive to each of your children and their needs. So we trust ourselves in your watch care this day and ask and pray for these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.